I didn't get you sick, did I?
No.
Kind of sounds like you got the sniffles.
No, I got a little drunk last night. Actually, the entire day.
Hell yeah. Yeah. The whole day?
Yeah, it got started at about 9 o'clock in the morning.
Oh.
Which we went and
What'd you pour?
Michelada. You ever had one of those?
Is that it's a beer thing?
It's like a beer Bloody Mary.
Yeah,
but with
yeah.
Okay, kind of Latin mix to it.
I've seen it. Because it's made with a Michelob.
You can do it with the Michelob.
I thought that's why it was called Michelada.
No, you could do it. Well, you could do it with any beer.
Okay.
That you like. But they put some mix at the bottom and then line the rim with some kind of like chili powder stuff. Had one of those. Breakfast and holy shit, dude, it was great.
It's not like tomato juice, is it? Clamato juice.
There is some kind of tomato.
I can't do that.
There, but it's not like overpowering. You can't really tell that it's tomato.
Those Bloody Marys, it's like cold tomato soup.
Now, see, you gotta, like, this is what everybody says, right? You gotta have the right one.
Yeah, that's what everyone says.
There was a time in my life a while ago that I bartended, and I learned how to make, yeah. It wasn't for a long time. It wasn't really my thing. But I learned how to make from this woman her, like, award-winning Bloody Mary recipe.
Wow.
And so I started making those there, and people loved them. I haven't really made any sense, but...
I dated a girl whose dad almost solely drank Bloody Marys.
Oh, wow.
And I had, like, he was like, he swore by them.
Yeah.
This is the one. This is the one.
It's the best you're ever going to have.
And it was not good.
Not good. Yeah. If it doesn't have all the, like, if it's too red to me, it's no good. Like, I would put Worcestershire in there.
Worcestershire?
Yeah, pepper, some Tabasco.
Were you making a steak?
That's to get rid of all that tomato flavor.
You got to let it marinate
for a little bit, you know?
I'm a sweet guy anyway, like sweets.
Sure.
And what's funny is I never had like candy as a kid.
Huh.
And
like Dwight Schrute?
Basically.
It's impossible.
I had candy. Yeah, impossible. Our family despised candy. Right. Whatever you said. Yeah, I was kind of a rounder kid, which is, you would think like, oh, seeing me, he loves candy, but
no.
I didn't really like M&Ms. I didn't really, you know, the chocolate's good, but it wasn't my go-to thing. I was a pizza, corn dog, hamburger, hot dog kind of kid, and I still am today.
I was going to say, I'm right there with you.
But basically red-blooded American is what I'm trying to say.
Absolutely.
But whenever I got into my 20s, I had a friend who wasn't allowed candy as a kid. And he moved out of his parents' house and went crazy.
Full-blown candy addict.
Gas station trips.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just go along with him. He's like, you're not getting any candy? I was like, no, not really. He's like, bro, you got to have this one. Try this one. And so that's kind of what started. Like, I got it pushed on me. You know what I mean? But I like sour straws.
Well, I mean, yeah, those are awesome.
The Sour Patch watermelon only.
Yes.
The wedges, yeah.
Watermelon wedges.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are great.
And then, of course, energy drinks.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'm really into these Ghost energy drinks because this one is a Sour Patch.
Flavored just like your favorite candy. Yes,
exactly. It's delicious.
Yeah, that one's very good. I see you got an empty of the blue raspberry over there as well.
Don't look over here. Oh, it's actually...
This is your ghost graveyard.
Sometimes I wait to like throw them in the trash, you know what I mean? So it's like, oh my God, have you drank that today? Right. No, it's been like a week. This is like, an
accumulation
chill out.
Of days.
You know? so alcohol, like I just gravitate towards sweet.
Sweeter stuff?
Sweeter stuff.
Yeah. Well, like, so with that one, you like sweet tea?
Oh yeah, I love a Long Island.
Well, we played golf yesterday. That's why I got started drinking so early. Played golf early on and ordered what was called a John Daly, which is really, have you ever heard of an Arnold Palmer?
Yeah,
sweet tea and lemonade.
Mm-hmm.
The John Daly, you just add some vodka.
Ooh,
into that.
Ooh,
and man,
that sounds incredible.
They were great.
That I want to stop what we're doing to make one right now.
Yeah, like I'm telling you, it was one of those things where I normally drink beer personally. Beer guy, yep, Shiner Bock, that's my thing.
Okay, yeah.
So I had bought some beers, and then my buddy was like, "Well, no, let me get us some John Daly's." And I was like, "John Daly? Like, I love John Daly, but yeah. Let's like, all right, let's give it a shot." And gave it to us in a freaking 32-ounce cup.
Yes.
So it pretty much lasted through most of the front nine. We stopped by and get another one for the back nine. So by Smart. The time I was done playing golf, there were some beers mixed in there too. It was like, man, feeling pretty good.
How long did that last? Like your golf session?
The round of golf, actually, we played for about 6 hours.
Oh, okay.
But we went on like, we finished around four and a half hours, pretty common. A little slow, but anyway, we were playing on like two-man teams, like two-man scrambles, and we tied, and we didn't want to end on a tie, so we went on and played extra holes, and so there was just a lot of boozing.
Are you good at golf?
I used to be pretty decent. I worked in golf for about 4 years as an assistant.
I didn't know this either.
As an assistant pro.
Oh.
So really, I just ran the pro shop, okay. Tee times, tournaments, all that kind of stuff. But since I worked in it, I played for free every day.
Oh, yeah.
I could practice for free every day. I could play other courses for free.
And so you're better than the average person?
Probably. I mean, I don't now, like, this was my first time to play in over a year. So I thought I was just going to suck. Mm-hmm. But it turns out that...
came back to you.
It's still there.
Yeah.
Hiding somewhere inside of me. And I pulled it out a little bit yesterday.
That's what she said. I haven't played 9 or 18 holes.
Like ever?
I can't remember if ever, but not that I remember.
Mm-hmm.
I actually don't think ever. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that. But I used to play... This is going to sound fucking stupid, okay, but I'm going to put it on record. I used to play, not Wii Golf, but I did play that, but there's a camera for the old Xboxes called the Kinect.
Yeah, yeah, I have one.
And they had golf on that.
Really?
And you could choose 9 or 18 holes, and I remember Saturdays would roll around, and that same dude that got me into candy would come over, there'd be four of us, and we would just drink and play 18 holes of fake golf. Like, you didn't have to walk. You weren't out in the sun.
I was about to say, being in the AC and playing golf sounds nice.
And you sit down like on the comfy chairs while your buddies are going, while they look stupid.
Uh-huh.
And you're just getting more and more drunk. I love the appeal.
That actually sounds awesome.
It's incredible.
Now these days, something you'd probably like if you like that. There's a place out in... tucked back away in the woodlands. I can't remember what it's called. But you go in there and there's a bunch of bays. And you'll have on the screen, you can like pick from like 200 some different courses around the world. It pulls up that actual course on the screen. And the platform that you stand on has your fairway, rough, and then sand. And wherever you hit, you actually swing a golf club, hit a golf ball into the screen. It somehow calculates your ball flight and all that kind of stuff. And you just sit around. They have a full bar, food, all of that stuff. But it's all indoors.
That's legit.
And the cool thing, too, is the platform that you stand on is somehow calibrated to the course on the screen. So if you're on a side hill lie, all of a sudden you'll feel that platform start to turn.
That's pretty sick.
It's really neat. We went there for a company outing a few years ago when I was with my previous company.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was blown away.
That's incredible.
Super cool. So swinging the golf club, because yesterday, dude, it was so damn hot. I mean, it's hot. We live in Texas, right?
Yeah.
It's freaking hot no matter what. But whew, you start drinking some John Daly's and that sun kind of gets to you a little bit.
I also know Bo's probably rolling in his, what is he on vacation right now? In his vacation bed?
So. Yeah.
Or something. Talking about, why don't you just go join the metaverse?
Yeah, right.
Something stupid something, like that.
Some kind of shit like
you
that.
You fucking idiot. I'm kidding.
Uh-huh.
Mostly.
Mostly. What's been going on with you?
I got to absolutely chill yesterday.
Nice.
Like nothing. Didn't have to drive to Houston. Didn't need to coach in the evening. And my girlfriend went on a... she's a youth leader at her church.
Oh, very cool.
And they went on this trip to Kima.
All right.
To the boardwalk. And so I was just home alone and I busted a fat chill. I gamed all day. It was great.
Very good.
It was great. Cause you know, I want to be a pro and
yeah, that's it. You gotta be practicing, man.
I gotta be good.
Yes, sir.
If I'm going to be making oodles and oodles of money, I'm talking like at least hundreds of dollars.
Hundreds of them.
I don't know. I don't know how that's going to go, but yeah, I just chilled yesterday. I'm going to chill a little bit this morning. We went to Sweet Paris. Have you ever been there in
Sweet
the Woodlands?
Sweet Paris? No. Is it a sweet shop?
It's a crepe shop.
Oh, okay.
It's phenomenal.
Crepes are actually pretty good.
I don't know how you've had crepes.
Mm-hmm.
They put stuff in them.
Yeah.
This was the first time I've had real crepes.
Yeah.
And they weren't made by French people, but it's like a French recipe. So soft, light. They have one called Delicious. The Houstonian, and it's got sausage, bacon, eggs.
Oh, a meat crepe.
Salsa on top. It's got jalapenos
with a little,
in it.
It's
so good, bro.
I don't think Texas flair would be appropriate, but
what's a Tejano flair?
There we
flair?
Go. Yeah.
and then they have a Nutella one,
ooh,
with strawberries and bananas in it that nice. I got.
I'm not a big strawberry fan, but
you can actually get it without. Nutella, I think.
Nice,
but it's so good. Wow. I recommend it.
So my
this podcast is actually sponsored by Sweet Paris.
Yeah, right? Would that be something?
I'm just joshing.
My wife's brother's ex-wife. So my ex-sister-in-law, she's from France. And
really?
So when she...
That's why it didn't work out.
Was here, yeah. Maybe so. But she used to make crepes when she was here. So, you know, authentic French recipe. The only thing she kind of complained about, the ingredients she could get here, she felt weren't as good
limited.
As back in France. She'd get the same stuff, but it wasn't French.
It wasn't wee wee poo poo.
Exactly.
Zonzi zonzi zon.
But she would do like a Nutella and fruit in them. She wouldn't do the kind of savory meat.
It's good.
Yeah, so I've never had one with meat. So I'm going to have to go.
Y'all should go.
Down to Sweet Paris.
Is Sweet it? Paris. It's on Market Street.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sounds expensive.
It. you know, it's a normal outing, I think.
Just normal crepe price.
Yeah, it wasn't good. Terrible.
Good.
But yeah.
The French do know how to do sweets.
They do. Sure. And they know how to do bread.
Yeah, like pastries and
baguette.
Yeah. I love a baguette and croissant.
I love a croissant.
Oh.
Oh, oui, oui. Well, what do you want to talk about today? In politics.
Dude, so, you know, I haven't. There's always something we hate on Joe Biden for, right? But I haven't paid too much attention this week.
He's got that video out of two speeches side by side.
Yes. Okay. Well, that's
identical.
I'm glad you brought that up. That's right. So I don't want to say he's getting away with this kind of stuff because his approval rating is just in the trash.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's probably past trash now and just in the landfill.
Mm-hmm.
But the people who do sit there and try and support him, how can you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's tough.
It's a weird thing.
It's got to be a tough time to be a Biden supporter.
Yeah, if there even is such a thing, which he believes 92% of Democrats want him to run again.
Ooh.
And I think maybe somebody, he got it mixed up. I think somebody told him like, hey, 92% of Democrats don't want you to run, but he took it as
that seems like something Joe Biden would think.
Yeah, he's like, oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. Come on, man, come on,
yeah, folks, you love me.
And then he's got his son, whose iCloud got hacked by Reddit or 4chan.
4chan, yeah.
And I've seen a couple things,
sure,
and it's pretty, you know, it's on par for what I think he as a person would be doing.
Yeah. So it's interesting. You know, there's part of it. I've been seeing stuff about his laptop for a while now. Mm. There's that research group, Marco Polo, who's had access to his laptop for a while now. And they've slowly been going through everything, putting it all together. It's actually, I would highly recommend going to the Marco Polo website and checking it out. They've done a really great job of kind of dissecting everything and putting things together, and they make these kind of PDFs that tie together the Biden family kind of corruption scheme that they've had going on for years. It's all been mostly through Hunter Biden. But it seems like the most that people are calling out about this stuff is just Hunter's drug and prostitute habit.
Yeah.
And I'm not, he's a grown man, you know, if he wants to go smoke crack and bang cheap prostitutes, that doesn't bother me as much as his dealings with China, his dealings in Ukraine, his dealings in Russia. He's heavily tied into these countries that we supposedly aren't supposed to like, except for Ukraine, right? We're supposed to love Ukraine.
And who Trump was supposedly colluding with.
Yeah.
Turns out he wasn't. And it turns out again that the Biden family is.
That's right.
Still
with Ukraine. There's a lot of evidence, too, that we've all kind of forgotten about with how tied in the Clintons are in Ukraine. There was a great book that came out back in 2014, I believe, called Clinton Cash by Peter Schweizer. I've been reading it. It's like, man, the same kind of thing happened in 2014. The Clintons just profited heavily off of it. And I know it's exactly what's going on with Ukraine right now. We're sending all of this money over there. And like we always say, it's going to go in. There's Ukrainian oligarchs and Ukrainian politicians that'll get wealthy, wealthier from this. But a lot of it's just going to be sent right back to the DNC, in my opinion. And there's Republicans that are on board with this thing, too. So, I don't know. It's just another get richer quicker scheme.
Did they sell those barrels of oil to Russia, China, yada, yada? Or did they give them?
I can't remember if it was... I would think they would have to be sold.
Had to be.
To them. Yeah, I don't think you can just give them away. The big issue was they're pulling it from our strategic reserve.
Correct. Strategic being the key word there.
Absolutely.
What part of the strategy is that?
Other than just continuing to cripple the United States? I really don't know.
And so what my thought process was, who, because you brought up money just being funneled back into the DNC. I mean, we're, as a taxpayer, you're not seeing any relief.
None.
There. And they're getting the money. Now, oil's oil, you know, but I don't think big oil's getting that. I think government's getting that.
I think so, too. I mean, again, I believe I've said this before, but big oil, they make their billions like pennies at a time, right? Which is a crazy thing to think about. But the oil business as a whole, they make all their money by having massive volume, having freedom to go drill and produce oil. Where it's currently at with all these things shut down. I mean, I think oil's doing okay, but they're just not able to produce a lot of it. So they're still making money. I mean, I know plenty of people who work in oil, natural gas. Natural gas is doing really well, and oil's doing decent, but who knows? It could end up crashing just like it's looking like everything else is going to crash. And
I should really have my my client on here who is in oil. Let's see if he wants to.
Let's do it.
But he has a podcast as well.
Yeah.
Called Oil Money.
Sweet.
And it's funny because a lot of the time they don't even talk about oil. They just have a good conversation, which I love listening to. But
I'll have to check it out.
Yes. Whenever they do get into oil, it's just a lot of the stuff goes over my head. Like, wow, that's like, I didn't know that. Or I don't even know what you're talking about sort of deal.
It's really an interesting industry, you know.
Yeah.
One that I've really had a lot of respect for and admiration for a long time. And I've done some work in the oil industry before as well. God dang, I've done a lot of things.
Bartender.
Yeah, golf.
Golf, pro. Assistant pro.
Assistant, yeah.
Oil.
Installed hydraulic systems on oil rigs.
Air Force.
And now I build houses.
And podcast host.
Yeah.
Co-host.
Yes. Your host.
I'm the host.
your co-hosts over here.
I'm mostly co-host.
I was thinking of this the other day, kind of going off track here, but you are the only constant on this podcast. And I'm proud of you for that.
I'm the only one that's been here every episode.
Every single time.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because where we record or probably. Really, I think you're just You're fully dedicated, man. I love it.
Well, okay, so let's say all the recording equipment was at your place.
You'd still be there every time.
Well, what if I couldn't make it? You know what I mean? Would y'all still record?
I'd give you. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
See, I think it's because it's here.
But hey, it's great.
Yeah. I'm really amazing. Really. That's what we're getting.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's what we're getting at here. Numero uno.
Yeah.
So, anyway, back to what we were talking about.
What were we talking about?
What, oil, Biden.
Oil. Hunter Biden.
Yeah. So what do you... I was talking to his friends about this last night over our kind of drunken stupor. And it's something we've talked about many times before is the 2024 presidential election. And so it seems as though he hasn't announced, and I don't think they can just yet, but Ron DeSantis just started on a big campaign trail raising money.
Okay.
And I've been a big fan of Ron DeSantis, and I still am and would vote for him if he was the choice. Mm-hmm. The first thing he went and did was go to the big billionaire donors to meet with them to ask for money when he's a guy who has claimed that he's not in bed with those kind of people. So it's interesting what's going on with him right now. And kind of my buddy's arguments was, well, that's what you have to do to go become president. You know, you got to go kind of kiss their rings and all that. And
I don't know about kiss their rings. I thought it would be literally about money. Like, I'm not going to be able to do this unless I have advertisements and
sure.
The ability to go campaign. And because that requires, you know, you got to staff people for that.
A lot of money. And so I agree. And here was my argument with that, which is two parts. Number one, you go to those guys asking for money. That's not the only transaction that's going to happen there. They're going to say, sure, we'd love to donate to your campaign, but when you become president, here's what I want in return. Who knows what that's going to be, right? We know that these big billionaires and big corporations and PACs and super PACs, the lobbyists there in Washington, D.C., have incredible sway over every politician because they own those politicians.
Hmm.
That's why Donald Trump was so dangerous.
Because he had his own funding. Yeah.
He wasn't owned by anybody.
Wasn't he the only president that lost, not value, but his net worth went down?
Went down, yeah.
Which says a lot.
So there you go. And now that doesn't mean like now only billionaires should run for president.
Right.
Right. You know, that's not what I'm saying. But the other part of my argument was the way of which the Democrats are going right now, they are really incredibly unpopular. Especially with the independents. Think about those independents. They're the ones who sway the election. Those people who are in the middle who don't really identify as right or left.
But don't those people vote independent?
Well, yeah, which means they could vote for, say, DeSantis, or they could vote for Biden, whoever it is. It just depends on who
they'll vote for that independent candidate.
I shouldn't say independent. They're not a registered Republican or Democrat. Mm-hmm. They're just...
I see what you're saying.
Registered to vote. That's it. Those are the people, the moderates in the middle,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they're the ones who sway elections. They either get pulled to the right or they get pulled to the left.
Mm-hmm.
Well, right now with somebody like DeSantis who could run on a good campaign, I don't think he would need to spend crazy amounts of money because of how the country currently is right now, just on inflation alone. I mean, say Biden is the candidate again. You could throw a guy like DeSantis in there, and he would hardly even have to campaign. It would come down to the debate, and Biden would be destroyed.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know. I just don't think that... I was rubbed the wrong way when I saw that about DeSantis.
Like, come on, bro. I have experience with one particularly rich person, mm-hmm. and I've met, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars rich. That person... seems like the type that would be like, well, what am I gonna get back? The super wealthy
mm-hmm.
seems also like the type. The rich person that I've had experience with seems like he would just want to be paid back.
Yeah.
And he's the richest person I've ever come across.
Sure.
Met, seen.
Sure. And with that such transaction, yeah, that's fine. But like when you donate to a campaign...
so
can't pay that person back.
My whole thing was with that was, you know, DeSantis doesn't seem like the type of politician to go and get in bed with all these dirty billionaires.
Right.
So it seems like he would vet.
I would hope
his
so.
Billionaires or his benefactors, mm-hmm. rather, before he actually takes the money from them.
Yeah. Which would be good. I mean, you would think.
Because I know there's a lot of wealthy people that wanted Trump mm-hmm. to stay in office and wanted to see the country become great again.
Mm-hmm.
And what really comes to mind is that guy who his neighborhood got stormed by BLM.
Mm-hmm.
And he was out in his front yard because they were breaking down his gate.
Oh, they're in Missouri.
With the two attorneys. He was out there with his AR.
Yeah.
Now, that dude's a rich guy.
Oh, for sure.
And that's who I think you'd go to as, you know, looking for funds for your campaign and to say, like, I want to run this country in the same direction Trump was pointing us. I mm-hmm. want to get us back on track to that. And I need your support to be able to do it. And I feel like that person would say, I fully back you and right. I agree, and wouldn't be some shady person. Because I feel like, and I know there's a lot of nuance to this argument, but it would probably be more so left-leaning billionaires who were dirty. Now, again, I could be completely off base with that. They could all be dirty.
Yeah.
But, you know, conservatives tend to have Christian values. They're grounded. They have a home, an actual intact home with mother, father, mm-hmm. children. And whether they're functional or not, they still, at the end of the day, say their prayers goodnight and try to be a better person.
Sure.
Holding someone by the balls with money doesn't seem very Christian. And now we all fall short of the glory of God. So again, I could be very wrong, but yeah. That's who I would go to first. Like someone, not even Christian, just someone who's got their moral compass pointing north.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he's a smart guy.
For sure.
He's got advisors. So maybe the people that he's going to are good.
Maybe.
Good-hearted.
Yeah. I think he could ask for $25 from every regular person. It's like Bernie Sanders would be the comparison, right? Bernie Sanders ran a great campaign. I'm not a fan. I don't like anything that
he's such an idiot.
He runs for, but
I'm once again asking for money.
Yeah, that's right. That's pretty good. But he was able to fund his campaign by reaching out to regular people and saying, you know, hey, $10, $20, $25 would really help. You know what I mean?
You're Bernie and you're Anthony Fauci are really close.
It's pretty much the same person.
They grew up in the same neighborhood.
Yeah. But that's something I can respect Bernie for.
I agree.
Was that he claimed he was a man of his people, and his people stepped up and showed that he was.
Hmm.
And I don't see why somebody on the right can't do the same thing.
You're right. I agree.
So I would have a lot more respect. I mean, Trump really kind of did the same thing. He was he pretty much would match whatever his constituents donated. He's like, whatever my people donate, I'm gonna match that into my campaign and, you know, continue to fund this myself, but also the people who are donating to me.
Mm.
Now, he got big donors and stuff too. I mean, if you go to a Trump private dinner, it's like $5,000 a plate.
Mm.
I know that food doesn't cost $5,000.
It's not very good either.
Yeah, right. It's probably
some McDonald's.
Yeah.
Get the Burger King.
Yeah. Trump's a hard one to impersonate. There's some people out there that do a really good job at it.
I can't do it. I can't do it at all.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of like that South Park episode where they're choosing between a douche and a turd sandwich.
That's a great great analogy for politicians right there.
It's so hard to see if they're being genuine or not. With the things that DeSantis has put into play in his state, Florida, mm-hmm. kind of seems like he's being genuine. And that's why I give him the benefit of the doubt. You know, if he was being shifty and shady, I treat him just like I treat every shifty, shady Democrat.
For sure. And so we'll see. This is, to me, like the first, and I don't think I even want to call it shifty or shady, but just the first questionable thing that I've seen from him. But shoot, he's done a great job over there in Florida. Florida has turned extremely red.
Yeah, under, they used to be blue
under him. Yeah. And that's a good thing. He does a really good job. And I think that in the kind of political sphere, a governor does a much better job as president than a senator or a congressman. The governors have the tools because they're used to, I mean, a governor is essentially a quote unquote president of the state in some form or fashion. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
And so when they get up to kind of that federal level, they're already ready.
You know what's crazy to me is how the parties, it seems like they actually did switch this time, but they still didn't because the left is still racist.
They are. It's crazy how racist a white liberal is.
Crazy. And you think like now they're like we need to go to war, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And Antifa. Punching, doing whatever the fuck they're doing with old people.
Yeah.
How did it come to that where you are such a, and they've always been crybabies, you know what I mean? They've always been children that grew up but never matured in their brains.
Yeah.
And so it seems like it's crazy to me what I was saying about how, like, how did Florida just go from blue to red? So red.
Yeah.
Everyone in that state is like, fuck that. They literally don't want anything to do with that ideology.
Nothing, man. It's pretty incredible. And it just goes to the Republican leadership out there. They showed them kind of the light. Like, here's the way that it should be. Here's how we're going to do it. And it not only just shown them, it has worked. That's the big part there, too.
Because it does work.
Right. Maybe you sit there and you make promises to people like these politicians do, and then they don't ever do anything about it. Like Greg Abbott is turning into this guy who's like, I'm gonna do all of these things, and you know it's gonna be great, and Texas is gonna stay red, and blah 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 blah. And then he doesn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's really just pissing me off. But anyway, it's just if they just do what they say they're gonna do, I can live with some of the bullshit. But just do what you say you're gonna do.
That's why Trump worked.
Yeah.
I hate to keep tooting this horn, but I literally I hate the phrase, but woke up to what politicians actually were about.
For
when
sure.
Trump got in office, it's like, oh, he's actually doing shit.
Yeah.
It's not a bunch of fucking red tape that he has to go through.
Mm-hmm.
Like every other politician, well, there's a lot of stuff that has to move before this happens. Like, oh, no, I thought you were the president, bro. Right. Like, what? You are the boss. You tell it to move and it will move.
That's right.
And
at least it should.
That's what Trump did.
Yeah.
And now we've got Biden here. Putin and the transitory inflation and Putin's gas hike. I got to tell you.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Repeat the line.
Yeah. Repeat the line. That was good.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Oh, I'm man. Ron Burgundy.
Feels like he's punishment for Trump. You know?
You think so?
You know? It's like, okay.
You
think
you want Trump? Okay, we're going to give you this guy.
Let me show you. Let's just throw this guy in here and teach these Americans a lesson.
Fuck, man. And to be at a point where Americans don't even want to be American anymore, they think it's better elsewhere. And I hate this argument about the guns and like England doesn't have guns. But like the thousands of people get killed by knives every year and hammers. And it's like, okay, go live there.
Right.
Go live there.
Enjoy.
And this is what Trump said to Ilhan Omar, like, go live there for a couple years and then come back and tell me how you feel. And then everyone turned it around and said, Trump told her to go back to where she came from. And it's like, no, really, go to Canada, go elsewhere, see if you can get the same medical attention that you get now, see if you can get the same opportunities that you get now. You won't.
No.
And so these kids who are grown up with this communist mindset I don't know who's doing it, if it's their teachers or their parents or both. They've been playing the long game, man. Yeah. Democrats been playing the long game.
Absolutely. So I think the other few weeks ago when we were talking about series on Netflix, was Peaky Blinders one of those?
Mm-mm.
You seen that?
I have not.
Okay, so I started watching it, and this goes into what we're talking about. It's based in like 1920s England, post-World War I.
Mm-hmm.
And as the series progresses through the seasons, it gets to the point to where, I mean, I think they're in like the either late 20s or early 1930s
mm-hmm.
over there, when the fascists, the Nazis, are starting to gain in popularity over there in Europe. And seeing it in kind of the lens that it is written fantastically. Like, the show is incredible.
It's historically accurate.
I mean, I think so. I've been digging into that more. Some of the characters are actually based off of real people. Winston Churchill is in the show.
Oh, cool.
So, you know, I think that there is some little, historical yeah. accuracy to it. But watching that and seeing what's going on here and now, there's a correlation between the two. And it always starts with some kind of economic collapse. People get pissed. They're out of work. They have nowhere to go. So if you can't work and you're not making money, then you start thinking, well, the government needs to start mm-hmm. giving me. You know, I need government to do for me. And that's where a communist or a socialist could come in and start saying, well, what if all of this was just ours? It belongs to you, the working people. The government should be providing for you.
Mm. It's also nice and shiny when you present it yeah. like that. You know what I mean?
Well, you present it during times of hardship.
Yeah.
There's all this bullshit going on. The communist way will save us all. The fascists will come in and save us all, which fascism, if you fall for fascism, I could see how people could fall for communism. I really could, because it seems great, yeah, right?
So grand.
Everything belongs to the people.
Utopia.
Yeah, but no fascism is just hate.
Yeah.
It is full of hate. And maybe just those people who do fall for it just have hate in their heart, mm-hmm. you know? But it's really an incredible show. Definitely recommend watching it.
I've heard a lot of people say good things about it.
But I would highly suggest you turn on the subtitles.
Yes.
They got some thick English accents. And
I'm always a subtitle guy.
Yeah. When we first started watching it, we actually stopped. Because we're like, well, this is cool, but I can't understand a damn word they're saying.
Yeah.
And like, oh, wait. Turn them subtitles on.
Subtitles on, man.
And
so is there a lot of times where you'll read something that wasn't even in the show, they like didn't put it in, but it's you know, awkward silence or things moving in mm-hmm. the background sort of thing. It's like, oh
yeah, helps you catch some things.
Yes, yeah. Something's going on.
Anyway, it's a good one, and I think it's very relevant to what's happening today. And again, we were talking about well written series and all stuff. Netflix just seems to have it down with some of these certain
on the occasion
one, you know, they have the tendency to knock it out of the park every now and then.
I going back to Stranger Things, I think they the acquired talent that they had,
yeah,
the Duffer brothers were really who knocked that writing
for
out of the
sure
park.
And the fact that they found like what is it, like 6 or 7 kids,
yes,
that are just incredible, yes, talents. I mean, they are all so good. They've gotten better, even better over it. But even like that first
season. Yeah, the first season, they were all really good.
It was like, where did you
where did
they come from?
Yeah, I watched the first Harry Potter and it's like, oh God, this yeah. is tough to watch. Because yeah. they got better as yeah. they grew up. But that first one's tough.
Yeah.
And it's not the case with Stranger Things.
Yeah, like right off the bat. And then they've continued to progress.
Yeah,
and that's just incredible. I was thinking about that the other day, like, where did they find
uh-huh.
these kids? Like, what's her name? 11, Millie.
Bobby Brown.
Bobby Brown.
Just that's the casting director's job.
Yeah.
Just find those unknown names.
Yep, and so I watched her in another movie, Netflix movie. It's like, okay, is she really good, or was she just meant to play Elle mm-hmm. in Stranger Things? And the movie is Enola Holmes.
She's Sherlock's sister.
Yeah. Right. Amazing. She's great. The movie itself is kind of meh.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to see her acting.
I think it was just something to have on her acting.
For sure.
Credit.
And go ahead and check that one off. She's nice. Got some range. She can play some other roles. So.
And I literally haven't been able to stop thinking about the Stranger Things finale.
Dude.
It's just the lore and the universe that they created. Because, you know, you look at everything's got to be a fucking universe now. Everything's got to be a crossover. And it wasn't like you didn't need Iron Man to pop up in your movie. You didn't need whoever else to come crossover to bring fans in.
Right.
And everything that they created... I don't know if you saw this. Oh, shoot. Spoiler alert. Fast forward. If you don't want a spoiler. The theory is that Vecna was the person who took Will in the first season. And he was in the plans. I read that he was in the plans that the Duffer brothers brought to Netflix whenever they pitched the show.
Mm-hmm.
And so the reason why fans think that is because when Will was taken... He was trying to call his mom, if you remember that, in season one.
Of course.
And the door, the slide lock opens from the inside.
It does.
And Demogorgons don't have psychic abilities.
So, I started Stranger Things over.
Yeah.
Just started watching it again. And I noticed that.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, well, how did that Demogorgon do that?
Right.
And so, when they're showing the Demogorgon, too, throughout that episode... I know they stand erect, right? But a lot of times when they're moving fast, they kind of crouch down. Mm-hmm. Dog, do that. Well, no, it's walking the entire time.
Yeah.
And
what Vecna did.
But it does show Will when he's in the barn and he's hiding. Now he's got his little rifle.
Uh-huh.
The Demogorgon does pop up behind him. And then
open face?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
I'll have to, now I'm questioning myself.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Something does raise up, because he's looking at the door, and but he's waiting.
So you got to think that every shot that the dogs, the Demodogs, the Demogorgons are in, they are trying to eat you.
Dude, true story. And, so why would a Demogorgon take him?
Yeah, and just not eat him, and take him and put him into the upside down just because?
What about the girl? To
Barb,
because she ends up the same way as well. Now she ends up, you know, dead, obviously.
Well, so the explanation that Vecna gave in season four, like, I was trying to make my way back to you.
Yeah.
So he was trying to take her and couldn't find her. I can't remember.
Yeah, that's right. Because he creates his little portals every time he takes somebody, right?
Or no, that's kills somebody. That's what he worked up to.
Right.
So season one, he was trying to find a way to get her there.
Mm-hmm.
And then season two, was that the Russians? Or was that season three?
Russians were season three at the mall. And
but that huge gate was open in season two.
Yes.
Mind Flayer was season two. He tried to use Will to get out into the real world.
Yeah.
And then that didn't work. Got shoved back in the gate.
Mm-hmm.
And then season three, the Russians tried to use that giant dead body mind flayer to steal her powers.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't work. Even though he did rob her of her powers, he couldn't bring them back.
For sure.
And so that's when he came up with the plan that every time I kill somebody, it makes a portal.
Right.
So I just thought that was really, really great way to tie it in.
Yeah.
And if they had those plans from the get-go, I'm telling you, dude, one of the best shows ever written.
For sure.
And you may not like the, you know, the aesthetics or whatever, but you cannot, there's no denying the story that they've created, A1.
Incredible.
Top tier.
And I think season five is just going to be...
And you think this is going to be a thing whenever... Communism happens? No, it's going to be all propaganda. Biden's so good. Oh, it's fucking like Japanese television. It's going to be just like that. Or Korean television. Sorry, not Japanese.
North Korean.
Yeah. You won't be able to have a party and laugh.
Not remember
that? What was that party rule that you couldn't do in North Korea? I just heard it a month or so ago.
No clue.
Where he didn't. What's his name?
Kim?
Kim.
Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, didn't want parties and laughter on the day of his father's death. That's what
oh,
it was.
Oh, yes. That's what it was.
Yeah. From anyone.
Yeah.
God, which, man. You know, I get you don't want to party, but like the whole country.
Yeah. No laughing.
Yeah.
No partying.
And I feel like
everyone's grounded.
I feel like, you know what's
funny? Go to your room.
The landmass of North Korea could fit in one of Texas's counties, I think.
Is it that small?
I don't know. It's fucking small. That was a guesstimate, but let's look it up.
I love how anytime we talk about small countries, the reference is always Texas.
Hell yeah, because we're you know, it's like, what is it, second biggest compared to California?
Landmass?
Yeah.
Isn't it bigger than California? Aren't we bigger than California? I know Alaska. Alaska is the biggest.
Let's see. How big is Texas? 268,500 miles, square miles. How big is North Korea? Yeah. 46,500 square miles. So we nearly quintuple the size. Maybe more if my math is wrong.
Wow. I never realized that it was so small.
Yeah. That's what she said to you.
It's for sure.
Because she didn't say that to me.
Every time.
Oh, yeah. So I think that's...
It's not a big country.
I think that's so funny. Because they're such a big deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, they have quite the reputation.
And I feel like just send... We'll have a world battle. Send North Korea over to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what happens.
Then
give us a few days rest time. I know China's big landmass wise, but send your army to Texas. We'll see what happens.
See what happens.
I really think we're the defenders of the country now that I'm saying this out loud.
For sure.
Because Floridians for sure have some crazy motherfuckers, but they're pretty laid back. They're on the beach.
Yeah.
Texans, bro, we're ready to fight.
Because our beaches suck.
Mount up.
And,
yeah. All right, get your dick beaters up. Let's go.
Come on.
Californians ain't going to do shit because they're, hey, bro, hit the fucking surf, man. Yeah. Why don't you go hang 10? You seem a little stressed out.
I'm a little stressed, man.
Stressed. Why don't you hit this?
Yep.
New Yorkers. Again, tiny state.
You know, and at one time I would think that New York would be formidable.
Nah.
But not anymore.
Tiny state, tiny dick.
That's it.
Tiny country, tiny wiener.
You hear that, North Korea?
North Korea, you're so little.
Texas, man.
Texas. Hey, man.
Texas.
We'll never secede either.
No, I don't think so.
Everyone talks about it.
Secede. Always have.
I just don't think... we talked about this in text. I think we would be charged out the ass.
Yeah, there'd be tariffs and all kinds of shit that it wouldn't go well, which would probably cause some kind of conflict.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be... I don't know. It wouldn't be worth it, I don't think. Unless you take like all the Gulf states decide... All the way up to like Oklahoma, and if there was,
there goes that Civil War line.
Yeah, a band of states that said, "Well, yeah, we'll join you."
Mm-hmm.
Then okay, it could make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know? I read this the other day, and I don't remember learning this in school, though we probably did. But when Texas was being formed and actually became a state, there was always talks. All the way up until like the 1920s or 30s to split Texas into like 5 different states.
Really?
And the reason being, they thought that since Texas is so big,
mm-hmm.
you split it into 5 different states, each one of those states having more congressmen that can go to D.C. to represent the region better. And so for... longest time, I was always talking, it got really close, gosh, back in the late 1800s, especially after the Civil War. But the guy, the congressman, and I can't remember his name right now, who was kind of pushing for this to split the states up, he had a lot of support, died. And I don't remember how he died, but
dysentery.
I feel like it was something like that, yeah, or consumption, you know? And once he died, it was kind of like, eh.
He died at the ripe old age of 43.
Yeah, which was old in those days.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, I found that I was just reading about the seceding stuff.
Yeah.
In that article I came across, I was like, yeah, that's interesting. It'd be weird, like, living in Texas now, but, like, what would they name those states? Like, I live in the state of North Texas. Well, I live in the state of Southeast Texas. And Southeast Texas is better.
So there's five Texases on the map.
It's just North, South.
Yeah.
East, West, Central.
Central Tech.
Yeah. Couldn't come up with any better names, so that's what we got.
Where are you from? North?
North.
Pussy.
Yeah, right.
Northern panhandle son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm. I'm from East Texas. Which we already say now anyway.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
The East fucking East Texas.
Fucking motherfuckers.
Yeah, then you got those folks out there in West Texas who's like...
It's Bozo's area.
Yeah. West Texas is better.
Fucking idiot.
We don't got no trees over there.
You're fired, Bo.
Go back to West Texas.
Go back to West Texas if you love it so much.
Yeah, play with those tumbleweeds.
As far as the eye can see, because it can see fucking everything over there.
Uh-huh.
I know Bo wanted us to talk about LeBron James.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's been in topic of conversation over the past, what, week?
Yeah.
Because of what's her name?
Brittany Griner.
Brittany Griner.
And he said... What did he say? If I was Brittany, I wouldn't even want to come back.
Yeah.
Because Biden's not going to step up, essentially.
No, Biden's not going to do anything for her as of right now because he doesn't have a leg to stand on.
Instead of thinking maybe the person I voted for is a piece of shit, you think, don't come back to the freest country in the world.
Huh. That's what, you know, he's been such an asshole over the past few years where he's just said... Such un-American things.
And stupid things.
Really dumb. That had he not said all of those things, I think he probably could have gotten some kind of momentum for Britney.
Yeah.
By saying what he said, you know? Like, if he was like, hey, I love this country, but if I was her right now, I'd feel abandoned.
Yeah.
I would understand if she didn't want to come back. Because it'd be a fucked up situation, right? It could be a great knock on President Biden.
Yes.
But instead, he's once again attacking the country
still
that gave
shilling,
him everything.
Still shilling for the government in a way.
Yeah. The government who's fucking screwing Brittany Griner.
Yeah. And again, like you just said, the country that gave him everything. Yeah. If you don't like it here, go start your basketball career in France, in Africa, in... Australia, in China,
take
wherever the fuck you want to go, Canada, I don't give a fuck, South America, go there and try it.
Yep.
And if you make it, that's fucking badass.
Good job. Yeah, you did it.
You're going to be severely disappointed at the what you can't attain there monetarily.
Which, he's got the money, just retire and get
fuck
out.
Off.
Yeah.
But he's got this Twitter platform and he's going to use his voice. Because silence is violence.
Sure.
If he doesn't say anything, he's against them.
Yeah.
The backwards thought on that is ridiculous, but...
Yeah, it's just so... It's so dumb.
It's mind-boggling. Yeah, you really have to think about what they think. And then when you start to actually think about it, you're like, I can't understand this.
Yeah.
It hurts my head to think this way.
That's right. And maybe that's the point. I don't know.
That's why I always say it's a brain disorder. That they have. It Maybe. Is a disease.
Yeah.
And they can be cured. It's called being red-pilled.
Mm-hmm.
But they also don't know they have it and they don't want to be cured of it. So it's like you have to force it to them, but you can't.
Yeah.
You can't force anyone to do anything.
You can't.
And I want to. I want to try and be like, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. Please look at this. Please look at the shitty things the Biden family and the Clinton family have done and tell me that there isn't some sort of corruption going on. Now, you really don't want to say it? You really don't want to say it? No, no, I love them. I love the Biden family. And that's who I'm going to vote for again in 2024.
Yeah. Hunter Biden 2024.
Fuck DeSantis. He's Trump 2.0. Trump Jr. It's really hard to get through to those people unless they figure it out themselves.
Yeah.
And
well, and people like LeBron James aren't helping.
No.
And again, it's
They're reinforcing the echo chamber.
There's a and there is a point to that. I'm sure somebody is in his ear.
I don't know.
You know?
I don't know. He says some. It feels like it's his own thoughts sometimes.
Maybe.
But when I was here, I wouldn't want to come back. Then get the fuck out. Go visit her and see if you want to stay.
Right. Here's your hat. What's your hurry?
Because I imagine it's probably actually like the movies, like where there's a bit of a Russian gulag feel to it.
Yeah.
Maybe not crazy like the way it seems in the movies, but I guarantee you she's getting fed some like gruel.
Oh, I'm sure. I wouldn't think they're taking good care of her.
It's cold in her cell. I know that.
Cold everywhere around there.
Fucking dripping water somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
It's a dark, just dirty. There's a rat crawling around.
Playing some kind of Russian music in the background with the xylophone.
To drive you crazy.
You know, yeah.
Oof. I had a buddy who was in the Special Forces Marines.
Mm-hmm.
And to test them or whatever, he said they locked him up for like 3 days.
Yeah.
In this sort of thing that we're describing, actually.
Yeah.
And the lights would intentionally flicker.
Mm-hmm.
And they played on a nonstop loop, heavy death metal music, and the sounds of babies crying and dogs barking and whimpering. And he said nonstop for 3 days. They didn't feed him for 3 days. And then after this 3 days was up, they yanked him out of this cell and interrogated him.
Mm-hmm.
And brought up pictures of his family. Said, who is this? Who is this right here? And brought up their social medias, Facebook, Instagram. And he had to sit there and say, I don't know them.
Yeah.
He's like, so if we told you to kill him, you'd do it? I said, fuck them. Give me the gun. That sort of thing.
Yeah.
He had to pretend he didn't know. And when that happened, his brother deleted all of his social medias because it was real.
Oh, yeah.
It was the military doing that.
Yeah.
So if our military can pretend to just to get our soldiers in the right state of mind for interrogation, you can probably imagine it's similar in an actual foreign country whenever they're doing the real deal.
Yeah, that's called a SEER school. S-E-R-E. Survival, evasion, resistance, and escape. And every flying personnel in the Air Force, if you are on a plane, you go through that.
Nice.
Through that school. I wasn't on a plane, but I really wanted to make my way to being on a plane just so I could go to
SEER.
It seems pretty cool, man. I mean, it'd be awful, you know, like that part. But some of my buddies who were loadmasters and all that stuff on C-130s, they went through it. And they said, while you're doing it, it sucks. But once you're done with it,
it's a story you feel like forever.
Well, yeah. And you feel like nothing can defeat you.
Nice.
You know? So, like one of my buddies, it's up in Washington. And he went in the winter. So they like dug a hole in the snow, put one guy down in there and then him on top of that guy and started filling it up with snow.
Oh, great, great, great.
So his buddy down at the bottom is kind of freaking out. And my buddy's on top of him.
Yeah.
His head's above the snow line and they're sitting there telling my buddy, like, you better start talking or your friend down there, he's going to be in real bad shape. He was like, I didn't crack. He's like, I looked down at him and he was, you know, his eye all big and everything. He's like, he had to tell him, like, dude, you're not going to die. Like, just hold on. We just got to get through this. And got out. But they had him under that snow for, she was probably like 30 or 45 seconds, he said. But it felt like
a long time. I imagine I'd be the guy in a torture scenario, like, you're not going to fucking kill me. And then they'd eventually kill me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but, right.
I'd
I ain't
be
telling
guy.
You shit.
I'm not telling you shit.
Yeah.
And as they're pulling my fingernails off of my body,
mm-hmm.
toenails, ripping my eyes out.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah, I still don't believe you.
Fuck you. Yeah, you're not going to kill me.
I don't believe it.
You're doing this so I have to stay alive afterwards and live a shitty life. You better kill me.
Right. Yeah. Do it.
And then they'll fucking kill me.
Yeah.
You son of a bitch.
I can't live without my fingernails. Just kill me.
You're still not going to kill me as I'm dying? Oh, pussy. Oh, God. This hurts so bad.
Oh, man.
Well, we did it.
We did it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good to.
This is episode 41, I think.
Yeah.
I didn't 41. Even realize last week was the big 40 until I uploaded it and there was already a 39 in place. I was like, oh, wow.
Hey, 40 episodes old. 41 episodes old.
Almost. It's had to have been a year, right? I know we do it every week, but there's been a couple weeks we've missed.
I think we're approaching. Pretty close.
Approaching. Great.
We're doing it, man.
Keep it rolling.
Yeah. We appreciate everybody listening, as always. Tell your friends.
Like, share, subscribe.
Subscribe.
Give us your money.
Yeah.
I have a gun. Give us your money.
We're talking about torture here. Y'all might want to...
Yeah. You don't want to get tortured, buddy.
That's it. We'll find
Not with this gun.
No way.
It's super big.
Huge gun.
Really long. They call it a ghost gun.
Uh-huh. That, so you can't see it.
Yeah. But it's there. Believe me.
It is there.
It's really long.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a unicorn horn.
On the end of it.
It's fucking incredible.
That's your bayonet.
Yes. But it's pointed up like a unicorn. So it's like a jaw bayonet. I don't go into your chest. I go into your fucking throat. Hi-ya!
Oh, man. Ooh. It's pretty brutal.
And then I shoot.
Yeah.
But again, it's a ghost gun. You can't see it.
Yeah. And it's just how insulting would it be to be murdered by a unicorn horn?
Yes. And rainbows just shoot out of your mouth whenever. Yeah. Happy fun time. You're fucking dead.
And you're dead.
Well, all right.
Y'all stay frosty.